Chancellor Reed, can you talk about tonight's event, the impact evaluation? It was a celebration for the teachers.
Yeah, so tonight was the first celebration of many for our most highly effective teachers in the system. We're extraordinarily excited. I think over the last 3 years, it's been, you know, a lot of tough reforms, and unfortunately, a lot of the focus has been on the negative things. But today we wanted to make sure that the people who really are doing the hardest work in this system and who are seeing results for our kids every single day are finally recognized and rewarded the way that they should be. So today they received an 11% pay increase in their checks, which was our pre-negotiated raise with the WTU. They'll get an additional 4% on top of that on October 1st. They will, between Saturday and Monday, be receiving their retroactive checks. And then for these teachers here, they are eligible for our Impact Plus Performance Pay Program. And so they'll be receiving checks from anywhere between $3,000 and $25,000, depending on the subject area, grade level, and school that they teach at.
A lot of teachers under your 3.5 years as chancellor have been fired and riffed. What do you have to say about this huge number of teachers that have departed DCPS?
Well, what I will say is that there were a whole lot more teachers in there that were celebrating because they're highly effective than that have left the system because they were ineffective. And so I think that people oftentimes lose sight of that. I know that in terms of people thinking that exciting news is going on, terminations is one of those things that causes a lot of controversy. But I want the media and other people to focus on the fact that we have hundreds and hundreds of really great teachers in this system who are doing amazing things for kids every year, and we're going to do our part to make sure that those people are recognized.
Chancellor Michelle Reed, we're joined by one of those highly effective teachers, Chris Bergfock, and he's one of the awardees tonight. Chris Bergfock, what are your thoughts tonight?
I just have a couple of quick questions. The bonus checks that you mentioned today, are they bonus checks or are they part of a pay for performance incentive program where if we accept that, then we're enrolled in a program and then under the contract, we're not eligible for certain benefits if we are accessed?
So that's correct, but that will be every individual teacher's choice as to whether or not they want to accept that or not accept that. That's one piece of it is the bonus, but in addition to the bonus, there will also be accelerated pay increases as well.
And then the other question I have is, you did mention the secondary scores. What about the students who are in K through 8 schools? Are they part of those secondary score increases that you're talking about?
The
6th, 7th, and 8th graders who are in K through 8 models? Are they part of the secondary AYP percentages that you're talking about?
I'm not talking about AYP percentages here. What I was talking about was increases.
But increases
in proficiency.
When I read the increases in proficiency, the numbers that you were talking about were the secondary AYP numbers that are published as part of AYP, which does not include...
That's not correct. The secondary increase numbers that I'm talking about are not... They have nothing to do with AYP. We were just looking at the kids who are in secondary school.
Where can I find that information?
We can get that to you. You know Erin, and she's happy to get you that information.
Chancellor Reed, Cortland Malloy had a piece in the...
Sure, Forest sure. Man Elementary.
Oh, sure.
No, thank you. There's a bunch of us, but...
Congratulations.
Yeah, can...
Okay, that's so nice.
Can I just finish this interview? Chancellor Reed, Cortland Malloy in the Washington Post, he wrote that he has some concerns about the Hatch Act and that you might be violating the spirit of the Hatch Act. You were campaigning a week ago. You haven't campaigned much in the last
Absolutely
week.
Absolutely incorrect. If you read the Hatch Act, what it says in the first paragraph of the Hatch Act, it says that Congress encourages all public officials to be engaged, civically engaged. It gives a list of all of the allowable activities. It says you can attend rallies. It says you can, say what candidate that you prefer and that sort of thing. It's very, very clear, and I'm sorry that Mr. Malloy did not read the Hatch Act when he was writing about it. All right,
If Vincent Gray is elected mayor, will you serve? Do you mind if I do an interview with people?
No, because
we're working every day. Wait a second.
I'm actually here for them tonight, so.
One,
well, this is also
two,
the.
Two, three.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, look at that. That's beautiful.
Oh, he did.
He did.
Oh, so excited.
He showed my daughter the ring before he gave it to me, and my daughter said to me, "Okay, I made him."
Oh, My husband went to Cornell. Oh, and, no, like, seriously.
All right.
No,
keep up the good work.
Thank you for everything.
Can I get a picture?
I appreciate it.
Congratulations. I'm just you're Mr. September?
I'm Mr. September.
My calendar boy.
1, 2, 3, September. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, we need to go. Okay.
Chancellor Michelle Rhee, a couple more questions for WPFW listeners. You stepped out in the campaign, and so I think it's appropriate to answer a couple questions.
Good to see you. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a good day, huh?
Yep. Rough year, but it was a good day.
I know.
All right, take care.
Chancellor Rhee, your comments in October around the 266 teachers who were fired because of alleged budgetary reasons, but then months later you found a lot of money for this teacher's contract. Do you apologize for those comments?
For what comments?
You said you fired teachers who had sex with children, who hit children, and there wasn't evidence to back up that statement.
If you look in the paper today, you can clearly show that teacher that I was referring to, it was actually confirmed in a paternity test that he fathered the child of a student. So for anybody who wants to say that I did not have evidence, that's all the evidence you need. Okay,
but you were speaking about one person. When you made those comments, I was speaking about all 266 teachers.
No, I was not speaking of all 266 teachers. That's the most
You said you fired them because they had sex with children, hit children.
I said amongst the people.
That's not what's in Fast Company.
You know what? Call Jeff Chu, who wrote the Fast Company article, and he'll tell you.
Are you saying that he was wrong about what he wrote?
I'm telling you that you should call him and ask him what he wrote.
I'm just telling you what was in the... So you're saying that was not your comment?
I'm not having this conversation anymore. It was very clear. Jeff Chu made it clear to everybody exactly what I said and what I didn't say. And you're taking things totally out of context.
What do you say to those who say that some of the test scores, the bumps in test scores, are a result of changing demographics in the city and not the fact...
That is an insult to every single low-income child of color in this city who is improving their academic achievement levels. It's an insult to them.
So it has nothing to do with changing demographics?
No.
Thank you, Chancellor Rhee. Chris Bergbach, you're just a part of an interesting exchange with Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee after this award ceremony for what was called a bonus. Your point is that this may, in fact, not be a bonus, but talk about this evening, this award, and your exchange with Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the crux is she told all of us are here, we're excited.
There's a lot of you.
There are. Her website said 650 teachers. We showed up there. She released today that there is money for highly effective educators. So in front of a room full of educators.
At Union Station, a very fancy affair. It was hard to get in. It was they said it was a closed affair.
She told all of us, she said, and every teacher here is L, and then she stopped. And she said, every teacher here will receive a bonus check. Every teacher here will receive a bonus check. And afterwards, Pete, you and I caught her, and she changed what she said.
Explain.
Well, a bonus check is no strings attached. If you get a bonus, you get that bonus. You put it in your pocket, and you're done. Instead, it is not a bonus check. Instead, if you accept that money, as we caught Michelle Rhee, and she stated to us, she said, yes, every student, every teacher here is eligible for an incentive award as part of the pay-for-performance incentive program, not a bonus. And she said, if you accept that, then you give up certain rights under the contract. For instance, every teacher here, and teachers don't know this because she didn't publicize it, but every teacher here who accepts that bonus check, which she told us was a bonus, every teacher then waives their contractual rights if they are accessed next year to having a year to look for a job, or receiving a $25,000 severance package, or if you have 20 years or more experience, retiring with full benefits, getting early retirement with full benefits equivalent to 30 years of service.
So this, in fact, is not a bonus, that folks are giving up rights that they don't know they're giving up. Teachers right now do not know that in order to receive this money, they have to give up certain things.
It's an outrageous way to treat teachers. She holds an event like this with you know, with all the glamour, with press, with hors d'oeuvres, with a cash bar.
Well, interestingly, no press. They said that NBC had an exclusive, and then it took a lot of wrangling to get in. Very interesting to note that, in fact, there, as far as I can tell, there was no press allowed.
That's right. And it's all under the guise of celebrating teachers. But it really is a trick. Teachers do not understand that when they take that check, they are giving up their rights. And that, to me, that is disgusting. If you're going to celebrate teachers who are highly effective, then do it honestly and say, we will give you money, but if you give this money, if you accept this money, you have to give up certain rights. And that really goes to the basis of Ree's entire administration, her treatment of teachers, and what she's done to education, is to hold teachers up for doing a great job, and at the same time, reach in behind their backs and take something away from them.
You know, as we stand here in Union Station, in the East Hall, this fancy event with waiters and tuxedos and so on and so forth, as we were talking, Chris, we were interrupted by a couple teachers, and they were so excited. As you're saying, it was a celebratory occasion. I think they were comparing rings with Michelle Ree, who may be getting married to Kevin Johnson. But as you're saying, the downside of this was simply not discussed tonight.
No, it wasn't. And in fact,
it hasn't been discussed anywhere else.
Absolutely not. And in fact, it was purposely... It was the opposite. She pulled the wool over her eyes. She purposely said, she was about to say every teacher here is eligible, and she stopped herself from saying eligible, because eligible means strings attached. It means you have to do something. And she stopped herself and said, every teacher will receive a bonus check. And that is absolutely not true. I will not receive a bonus check, because I do not trust Michelle Ree, and I will not give up those rights under that contract. And I think many teachers that I talked to at the reception, once they understood what the ramifications of the decision to accept that money, they were not going to take that money either. And that would be an interesting story to find out which of these highly effective teachers, or how many of these highly effective teachers, take that money and give up their rights, and how many don't take that money to preserve their rights because they are fearful of Michelle Ree, they are fearful of her administration, and they are fearful of her mistreatment and frankly, the arbitrary and punitive way she runs excessing and RIFs. And I know, Pete, you're going to talk to Eric Martel, who unquestionably was a subject of retaliation. These teachers tonight that I talked to understood that. They know that if they take that money, then they are subject. They're subject through no part of their teaching. Nothing to do with how they are as a teacher, because we know they're highly effective educators, but they understand that they're subject.
You have a sign that says Christopher Bergbach, highly effective educator. That's the sign that, everyone had their name, and so this is a night of highly effective educators.
It is. And when we talked to Michelle Ree, you introduced me, and as a highly effective educator, she didn't have much to say to me other than talk to somebody else in her administration.
And also talking tonight was George Parker, who is now president of the Washington Teachers Union, who has postponed an election. You are a candidate for president, along with your brother, for vice president of the Washington Teachers Union. It was interesting. He was also in a celebratory mood. What do you have to say about his talking and his performance as president of the Washington Teachers Union?
Well, I think the first thing to note is there wasn't a lot of listening going on when he was talking. There was lots of side conversations. There wasn't any applause for him, really. And I think the teachers, all teachers, certainly the teachers who have been riffed, which is part of the election, what's happening now with the election is he wants to hold the election in November to take the vote away from all teachers who were employed as of June, the teachers who were riffed, and by waiting until November, he's also denying the right to vote for the teachers who were excessed and then later terminated under this new contract. And now, as you can see tonight, the teachers who are still in the system and the very best teachers were very lukewarm at best, but I think really cold, gave him a very cold reception when he was talking.
As Michelle Ree was doing a George Parker is coming out now. And as Michelle Rhee was leaving, I was walking with her and doing my best to ask some questions. And one of them I asked was, after those RIF teachers, the 266 teachers in October, were fired, allegedly for budgetary reasons, saying there was millions of dollars in deficits, but then months later, millions of dollars were found for this controversial teacher's contract. She came out to Fast Company and made some comments about teachers, saying, you know, I fired these teachers because they had sex with children, you know, they beat the children, all this. I asked her about those comments. She said she was right in what she said tonight, because if you read the Post this morning, there was an article about the paternity test for one of those teachers. I said, but you were talking about all the teachers. She said, no, I wasn't. I was talking about that one teacher. Do you have a response to her comments to Fast Company?
Absolutely. I mean, it's disgusting. And Michelle Rhee has no credibility at all. At first, she made those comments. She said, across the board, all these teachers lumped them into one category, had sex with children, beat children, didn't show up to work, were lazy, etc. And then later on, after those comments, the Fast Company magazine came out, she reversed herself. She never apologized, but then she said, well, no, some of those teachers we lost were good teachers, but it was a riff. But some of those teachers were good teachers. And then tonight, Pete, she reversed herself once again, because when you asked her that comment, she said, we got rid of ineffective teachers. And we're not, you know, tonight we're going to celebrate highly effective teachers, not talk about the ineffective teachers that we got rid of. So once again, she's changed her tactics, she's changed her comments, she's reversed herself, showing that she has no credibility in talking about really anything to do with DCPS.
Lastly, Chris Birkbach, your message to your fellow teachers of DCPS, what do they need to know about this contract? What's your message to them? Because there just hasn't been a discussion about the downside of impact. The Washington Post, who, interestingly, Warren Buffett is on the board of, and she mentioned Warren Buffett is going to be at a party for this in November, has been so much in favor of this that has really kind of blindsided people that there could be any downside to this impact evaluation and to this contract that's been signed.
Well, I think teachers are afraid, and they really don't trust what Michelle Rhee says. And I think that was very evident. She didn't get a lot of applause. She had some scattering of applause in the audience, but not a lot of applause. In terms of George Parker and Rhee, the real problem is that the union has effectively been gutted. It really is no longer any kind. It does not have an advocacy arm for teachers. The contract caught lots of teachers who were excessed by surprise, who are now being terminated. And George Parker said, well, I thought that we were going to talk to DCPS and we weren't going to terminate teachers who were excessed this first year of the contract. And then Rhee turned around and said, absolutely not. The contract started, if they don't find a job within 60 days, they're terminated. What we really need is leadership at the union who's going to effectively advocate for not just teachers, but for students in all parts of the city that have been neglected by this reform. And we need somebody who understands the contract, who understands what's happening with the manipulation of data, with the manipulation of policies, with backhanded awards like the ones we received today that require us to give up rights under our contract to take. And the union can't do that. And I'm hoping with new leadership that the union can help teachers reclaim their voices, be a part of advocating for education, be a part of reform, the rightful part that they have, and really drive and move reform forward in the right ways.
Adrian Fenty came and spoke, the mayor, but he was kind of the warm-up for the school chancellor, and he didn't speak very much. And, you know, this reform began, he didn't run on this 4 years ago, on this school reform. The day after he came in, he did away, the first day of his mayoralty, he did away with the school board. It doesn't seem like he knows the issues through and through. Any comment, and yet he's making this the hallmark of why he should be, the central reason why he should be reelected. He failed to be able to show up to debate Chairman Vincent Gray for an hour and a half debate. And yet this is the reason why people should put him into office on Tuesday. Any comment about his maybe lack of understanding about these issues?
Yeah, he doesn't speak to the issues. You're absolutely right, Pete. And I think that this reason to put him into office is evidenced by your discussion with Chancellery about the Hatch Act. She's campaigning in Chevy Chase. She's campaigning in Ward 3. She's campaigning in schools that never needed reform but got reform benefits, that received the lion's share of capital spending, that received more dollars per pupil than higher need schools. The thing that's the saddest and the worst part of this whole affair is that D.C. parents, teachers, D.C. Council was clamoring for school reform for decades, for a long time before Michelle Rhee came. Before Fenty came into office, Anthony Williams proposed mayor control of the school board and mayor control of the school system. Fenty on the council voted against it. Legislation passed, Fenty took office, and everybody was excited, including teachers, were excited about reform, were excited about having their voices and their feedback and what they were calling for finally instituted. And the first thing that Rhee did was clean office at the central office. I mean, she fired a lot of people, and teachers were hopeful about that. Here's the part that's disgusting, is that this was a golden opportunity to change education in Washington, D.C. With the right person, it would have happened. D.C. Ponied up over $1 billion for capital improvements to improve an aging school system. We took control away from the school board. It was a golden opportunity for the right person to come in. And the right person, I think, could have made drastic differences in school reform, like Jerry Wiest. Instead, Fenty
chose... In Montgomery County.
Instead, Fenty chose somebody with absolutely no experience and somebody whose primary focus is not reform, but on building a national personality and on sound bites and on being what they call like a hard-driving person, whatever that means. And it's really sad because, 4 years later, $1 billion later, we still have the same achievement gaps. We still have schools, who don't have teachers. We still have schools that don't have their textbooks, and we still have schools that don't have playgrounds, that don't have facilities. That's the awful part. And there's no way to reclaim these last 4 years. There's no way to reclaim the lives of these children who have been left behind by Michelle Rhee. And there's no way to reclaim that $1 billion. That got funneled disproportionately into the wealthiest schools in the city. There's no way to get that money back. And you know the story of Bruce Monroe, you know the story of Turner Elementary, schools that were promised, high-need schools that were promised to be rebuilt, that were promised funds to close the achievement gap, to give those the neediest kids in our city an education. We don't have money for them, and the money is gone. That's the sad part.
Your final thoughts, Chris Bergfock. You've had on this night where you've been labeled, you've gotten the award of a highly effective educator, and yet, as you're saying, you might not accept the step up in pay that the impact evaluation would give you because of the strings attached. Any comments on that, and any final thoughts you have?
I do have just a couple of comments. I was talking to a teacher at Duke Ellington, who my family has known for years. My sisters grew up with her daughters. Fantastic teacher, highly effective today. And her comment really sticks with me. She said, we finally got our raises, and I don't really know if I really need this extra money. And I think, again, it's an example of a diversion of money out of the classroom. And I'm the last person to say that teachers don't deserve more money. They absolutely do deserve more money. But the problem with programs like this is that they're divisive. They tear apart teachers, they tear apart collaboration. To be highly effective in here, if you're teaching a testing grade, what that means is that your students have to do better than the classroom right next to you. It means you have to outperform the person next to you. The only way to be highly effective is if you are better than everybody else. So for me to be highly, if I was teaching a testing grade, for me to be highly effective, it would mean that some of my friends are not going to be highly effective, that some of my friends are going to be fired. Because it's The basis of that system is the best of is one loses, one wins, one loses.
It's a corporate model.
It's a corporate model. So if we're all good teachers, but my kids do better this year and your kids don't do as well this year for a variety of reasons, you're fired and I get money. That does not make any sense. Teachers cannot be competitors. Students cannot be competitors. That makes absolutely no sense. It's not what we teach in the classroom. It's not part of our school community or school culture, and it does not belong in education.
Thanks, Chris Bergbach.
Thank you, Pete.